hoping to find light, but we're going and find darkness, because God's going, he's going to do it. So our day of deliverance is here. And as we move sovereignly among his people, you know, God's going to do great, mighty things. Now, you just finished hearing a masterpiece. Yes. And many folk who heard it will not walk in it, because it takes dying to do this. Dying to yourself, dying to your own agenda. And many people are not willing to do that. And so that's why a lot of folk are disqualified from really walking in it. And, you know, I've seen people who said that, you know, hey, Pastor, you know, I'm with you until the time came when correction came and that sort of thing and stuff. So with saying that, the condition of the temple and its priesthood are about to see drastic changes. You know, when the Bible talks about us being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, but he's referring to leaders here, referring to leaders. So we welcome the apostolic invasion of God into his church. It is his sovereign coming into the temple that will cause this new generation to be revealed. Now, it is his coming into the church that will cleanse the leadership. See, Apostle was talking, you know, he was talking about some things and stuff. Let me say it like this. You know, whenever you start talking about the apostolic, you're talking about heaven and earth government. You know, you're talking about the portals of heaven being open and that sort of thing and stuff. We're really trying to bring the church back to the book of Acts, you know, where this is really the way it's supposed to be, but religion and tradition just took it in another direction. And so that's why we lost the power, we lost you know, the plan of God. Everybody got their own plans, and nobody's really trying to find out what God's plan is. So men in the body of Christ. So God is about to do something. So let's look here in Malachi 3:3. Let me go down. Malachi 3:3. It says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, the priests, leaders, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." You see that? And then he says in the fourth verse, "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years." All right, so he's going to refine the church. It's going to be a refining that's going to go on. So God is raising a generation of people who will manifest his glory and not their own. That's what he's raising up. All right. So it talks about this refining that's going to take place. Now, so as we said, you know, God is really trying to get this church where it needs to be, so that people can really walk in that which he's ordained. Now watch this. In 2 Timothy 2:20. As I said, God is raising a generation of people who will manifest his glory, not their own, of people made in his image, walking in his character. All right, so here in 2 Timothy 2:20 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth." Look what it says. "And some to honor and some to dishonor." If a man therefore purge himself from these iniquities, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So now, notice here, he's talking about two types of vessels. One going to be honorable and another going to be dishonorable. So now, the Greek word for dishonor is atamiai, and it's defined as dishonor, reproach, shame, and vile. And then there's a Greek word for honor, which is tami, and it is defined as precious. So now I want you to see this. In Jeremiah 15 and 19, it says, if you take out the precious from the vile, you shall be as my mouth. All right, so we're going to look at something here for a few minutes. Taking the precious from the vile. He said, you're going to be as my mouth. In other words, I'm going to use you as a mouthpiece for me. When you talk, it's going to be just like me talking. But he said, but that's something that's got to happen before this take place. There's really got to be a cleansing process that's got to go on. All right. So how is the precious going to be taken from the vial? It's going to be through purging. We just saw it over there in 2 Timothy. See, if a man purges himself, didn't he say that? See, the thing about it is, okay, let me get a little further into it. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. So the definition for purge is to cleanse thoroughly or to free from impurities. So back again there in Malachi 3:3, it says, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. All right. So, as I said, the sons of Levi are foreshadowing of the royal priesthood, which is the church. Now, since he's comparing here the refining process, he's comparing it to gold and silver, right? So now, when you start looking at how many gold and silver, they can be refined. Matter of fact, gold is not really, is never found in its truest, purest state. It's always got some other metals that's in it. Y'all still with me? Yeah, so it's rarely found in its purest state. So now, in the pure state, Apostle was saying, I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. Boy, this is good. Apostle was saying, see, gold in pure state is soft and it's pliable. You with me? So now, whenever it got all of these other metals in it, it caused it to be hardened. Y'all with me? So if God is going to cleanse the leadership, now, there's something that's got to take place in men's heart. So whenever these other metals like copper and iron and nickel and these things, how many know gold becomes less pliable and more corrosive. Then there's this mixture that's called alloy. And how many it's the high percentage of the copper and the iron and nickel, that kind of thing and stuff. And so, it's hardened the gold and it's not as flexible as it was. So now, when we look at that, we can see a parallel here. We can see a parallel of, when you're talking about gold, we can get a parallel of the heart now. Oh, I want to say something to y'all. See, a lot of times, Apostle was, he was saying, whole lot of time, folk want the mantle. But the thing about it is, they don't want to pay the price. Because there is a price that has to be paid. Y'all with me? I said, there is a price that has to be paid. So now, a pure heart is soft, is tender, It's pliable. Hebrews 3, 7 through 13, it talks about, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. But then it goes on to say, but exhort one another daily, why it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, so now, sin is the thing that caused our hearts to be hardened. So just like with gold, the metals that's in, I don't care, there's 14 karat gold, 10 karat gold, 24 karat gold, and the higher, the number, the purer the gold is. But how many of you know, you can never just look at gold, you can never just look at it and see the impurities in there. And although you can't see them, they are there. It's the same way with a person's heart. Amen. There's some things that's in your heart and you really can't see it. Oh, God. You ever had anybody, you try to tell them, you really got a nasty attitude, but they can't see it. And you wonder how in the world they can't see it. My God. I mean, you're treating people like they are dogs and stuff like that. And then you can't see it. But they can see everybody else, but they can't see themselves. That's because even though the impurities are there, they just don't see them. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Because we about to go somewhere here. So sin, what it does is add substance that turns our pure gold into an alloy, hardening our hearts. And then this lack of tenderness, it creates a loss of sensitivity, which hinders our ability to hear the voice of God. And then, this is the state that many people are in the church. You know, they have a form of godliness, but without a tender heart. Their hearts no longer burn for Jesus. They was in love with God. All of a sudden now, they got this cold, frigid love now. Praise God. So, it's a self-love which only seeks its own pleasure and comfort and benefits. Supposing godly, godliness means, there's a lot of people who follow apostle because he carries the message of money coming because that's what they after. But once they come and they find out that, hey, okay, all right, nobody gonna give you nothing. You got to sow where you trying to go. Now all of a sudden, they fabricate these new instructions from God. Well, the Lord just told me to be there for a season. No, God didn't tell you nothing about no season. No, because you're not willing to pay the price. Hallelujah. So in James 1 and 12, it said, pure and undefiled, religion before God and the Father is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Oh, Jesus. So how many know Jesus? He come back for church, but I spotted a wrinkle, right? So now gold, another characteristic of gold, how many know it's resistant to rust and corrosion? Even though other metals, they tarnish, because of atmospheric changes and that sort of thing and stuff. But how many gold doesn't tarnish? Brass looks like gold. Y'all with me? Though it resembles gold, it does not behave as gold because brass is going to tarnish easily. So it has gold's appearance without possessing the character. Hallelujah. Oh, God. See, I'm telling you, that's why we have to always examine ourselves. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do it, exactly how to check yourself out. Don't nobody have to tell you. No, you need to check yourself out. See, because once you see it, it's your responsibility to do something about it. See, because as long as you don't recognize, you're going to be blaming everybody. You're going to blame your spouse. You're going to blame your boss. You're going to blame this person, that person. You're going to blame your pastor. Oh, pastor was anointed, but, you know, it looked like since I got over here, things. No, 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 it's you. Glory to God. So Malachi, it shows how Jesus is going to refine, or he's going to purge his church from the influence of the world, just as a refiner purifies gold. So now, in the refining process, how many know gold is ground into powder? And then there's a substance that added to it called flux. And so what they do, once they grounded the powder, they add the flux to it. They put them both in there. They ground the powder together. And then they put them in an intense heat. And once they put it in intense heat, how many of you know what happens is, because the gold is heavier, it goes to the bottom. The flux draws the impurities to the top. Y'all still with me? All right, now, see, but the thing about it is, once you begin, watch, you got to see this. Okay. You may be asking God, you say, Lord, you know, I really need you to do a work in me, you know, and that kind of thing and stuff. And most time when you ask God that, guess what's coming? Trials. Tests. Y'all still here? Praise God. Trials and tests. And, you know, look what it says here in Isaiah 1:25-26. It says, I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away your alloy, and I will restore your judges, talking about the leaders, as at the first, and the counselors of the Christians as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. So, So what's the fire that God uses to refine us? I'm glad you asked. 1 Peter 1:6-7. Look what it says. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it, talking about your faith, it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God's fire for refining is trials and tribulation. And the heat, how many know the heat of these things is what separates the impurities from the character of God that's in your life? All right, okay, watch this. Okay, there's many times, you know, I prayed, I say, Lord, you know, Lord, I want to be pure in heart. And then all of a sudden, here come the fire. Here come these trials and stuff. Now, I want y'all to be honest with me. Whenever things are going on in your life, at any time, do you get mean? Do you become bitter? Do you become, you become resentful? You become hard and you don't want to listen to nobody? When things going on, you just get out of my face. Look, I just don't want to be bothered today. Just leave me to myself. You know what has happened? The fire, the trials and things that God has brought in your life to burn that stuff out. And what's happening is, it's surfacing. Where you can see it, God dog. See, you can't see it any other way. You cannot see it any other way but through trial. That's why God allowed a trial. And you rebuking the devil. God said, no, you can't rebuke this. Because I'm trying to get the goal. I'm trying to get the impurities out. I want you to get in a position where you can hear my voice. You become more sensitive to the spirit. Because as long as this bitterness and all this stuff is in us, how many of you know it's hard to hear God's voice? And then another characteristic of gold is in its pure state, how many know it's transparent? I said it's transparent. Praise God. You know, a lot of times, Now let me say this. A pastor said something tonight. He was talking about, you know, a lot of times people try to steal anointing. Try to steal. Remember, there was this guy. He was a sorcerer. He got saved and everything and stuff. So he saw Peter and them laying hands. And he saw people receiving the Holy Ghost. And he wanted to buy it. And then what Peter said. Peter said, I see that you're in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. In other words, watch this. He trying to get something, but he don't want the character of God. He want to keep all that old stuff he got in him. And guess what? You cannot get this just because you say that I want it or I'm going to follow this person. You're going to have to let God do the work in you. It's going to be some fire that's going to be flying. Glory to God. And you're going to begin to see all your little nasty ways. See, he say if you take the precious from the vial, you're going to become as my mouth. See, in the prophetic generation, God has not only spoken over your life, but he's going to use your mouth to speak in the other folk life. Because there's a generation that you got to touch. Hallelujah. That's a generation you got to touch. You got to touch. All right. So a transparent vessel bring no glory to itself. I could get a glass right now and hold it up, a glass. And then once I pour some Kool-Aid or something, it's going to light up. That glass going to light up. It's going to light up. As that Kool-Aid be poured in, it's going to light up. You understand what I'm saying? Because the vessel never glorifies itself, but it glorifies what's in it. Ooh, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the glass itself or the vessel itself is unobstructive and almost unnoticeable. So once we are refined, the world gonna be able to see Jesus. Y'all bag up off me up in here. Man, listen to me. The years that I've been following Apostle, and God, you know, God asked me a question once. He asked me, he said, what do you see? I said, Lord, I see manifestation everywhere. He said, you're seeing wrong. He said, you're looking at the effect instead of the cause. He said, no, you're looking at the effect instead of the cause. You got to watch what's causing. So the Lord showed me, you know, Jesus, the Bible say, the Bible talks about how Jesus, he get up 4 days in the morning, early in the morning before his disciples. And when the disciples go to look for Jesus, Jesus is already, he's somewhere, he's praying. Because he's getting instructions from the Father about what he's going to carry out throughout the day. Y'all still with me? So the Lord showed me this, that when the disciples would catch up with Jesus, Jesus already been praying for hours. Already been in contact with the Father, right? So disciples, when they find him, say, come on, because we got to go to this next city. Jesus said, okay, he's prepared. He's ready now. So when Jesus goes out, you know, he sees a blind man. He just says, receive your sight. Jesus don't sit there all day talking about, come out in the name of Jesus. Oh, you know, he not stomping. He not making a whole bunch of noise and a whole, you know what I'm saying? He not saying a long drawn out prayer. He just say, be healed. And so watch this. And then he get to somebody else and stuff. Take up your bed and walk. He don't spend a whole lot of time because, he's already saw what the Father wants. During his time of fellowship and prayer with the Father has already gave him instruction. So now all he has to do is just carry out what he's already been. You understand what I'm saying? So now the disciples was noticing how Jesus was carrying out. And this is what they said. Peter said, I know what you're doing. Say, Lord, teach us to pray. Say, because we see where your secret at. Your secret is your time you're spending with God. That's where the secret is. The secret is not in all the manifestation that we see. They never asked Jesus, teach us how to do miracles. Teach us how to open the eyes of the blind. Teach us how to heal the lame. They never asked him that. They said, teach us to pray. Because we see what it is that's causing all these things to happen in your life. So the Lord showed me that. And so he said, showed me a apostle. He said, because of the time he's spending with me, that's what I want you to get a hold of. He said, the manifestation, that's only the call. That's the prayer life. And you're only seeing the effect, but I want you to see what's causing this. I want you to see the time that he's spending with me, the time that he's in the word, and so the Lord allowed me, see, I am an Elijah. Okay, all right, y'all go back. And look, and guess what? I'm not shy about it. I didn't say I was the only one, but I am one. Praise the Lord. And see, the thing about it is, just like them other prophets that was following Elijah, they had an opportunity, just like Apostle said, they had an opportunity to get to grab that mantle. But no, they too big. You know, they were from the school of the prophets, so they thought they were up higher than Elijah was. Look at him with his stupid stuff. He over there washing and going on and stuff. We over here learning the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, amen, by sitting there with Elijah, he was learning all he needed to know. He was getting his identity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. So, they had the same opportunity that Elijah had. But the thing about it is, they was too busy letting other folk get in their ears. Come on, talk to me, y'all. If you're gonna really follow a man of God, you really got to get to the point you walk by yourself. Are you walking with somebody who believe like you believe? Because I ain't got time for nobody to be trying to talk me out of, you know, what God has told me, because that's, oh God. So the Lord said to me, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to watch how he pray and how he. So because I am an Elijah, when Apostle got an RV, I got one. So when I'm invited, I can see some stuff that other folk can't see. I see the time that he putting in. God said, that's what I want you to see. But guess what? Can I help y'all up in here? Yes. Amen. And so what it did for me was gave me a hunger and a thirst for God like I had never seen before. Yes. Now, you understand what I'm saying? So now I got a building out in my backyard. Amen. But this is my sanctuary. Matter of fact, when I leave here, I go to meet God when I get to the house. Yeah, we have a little meeting place. I got a place where I sit and kneel, and he right there with me. You understand what I'm saying? Because I saw my apostle. I saw God. See? So I'm not praying, oh God. I'm not praying, asking God, you know, I want some, you know, apostle got, you know, a jet, and he got this here and he got that. I'm not praying about that. I ain't asking God for none of that. I want that hunger and thirst he got. I want that, amen. I want that character that he's walking in. That's what you understand what I'm saying? So this is what God is doing. This is what the fire do. This is what the refining process would do for you. It'll start burning stuff out of you. And then the thing about it is, see, you have to be able to take correction. You got to be able to, you know, they're like a pastor. You got to be able to take a tail whooping. Because if you follow the real man of God, it sometimes it'll look like he's trying to run you off. Yeah. I mean, that's what happened. Elijah was saying, I'm going to Jericho. He said, well, I'm going too. If you're going, I'm going. He said, as the Lord living, my soul living, I'm not leaving. Yeah. I'm going with you. Now, you're not invited. You don't got your feelings hurt. The Lord didn't tell you to go. He told me to go. Well, the Lord told you, then he told me. Because I'm going where you going. Now, you're just going to have to run me off because I am not. I'm going to be filing right on your heel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, watch this, what Isaiah said here in Isaiah 48 and 10. See, he amplified this to a greater degree. In verse 10, he says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. So he's saying it's not a literal fire that I'm refining you with. You with me? I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Now, when he's talking about affliction, this ain't talking about sickness and disease. God don't do that. But God will allow some trials, some tests, some things to come in your life because he's trying to burn out. He's trying to separate the vial from the precious so that you can become his mouth. God, my goodness, man. So he says, He said, I'm doing this for my own sake. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? His name will no longer be dishonored because of sin and corruption among his own. He said, and I will not give my glory to another. So it's going to be a vessel that's going to give God the glory. Hallelujah. And man, listen to me. I'm telling you, people of God, that's what God is after. God's after a vessel that's going to give him all the glory. So you got too many people in the body of Christ now. Y'all just watching that's on the internet. And you stop trying to be a superstar. There ain't but one. That's Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Connect to somebody who got it. Connect to somebody who's going somewhere. Connect with somebody who got proof, positive, that it works. You understand what I'm saying? And I mean following with everything that's in you. Get rid of every excuse you have for not being able to do whatever and stuff. People do whatever they want. Y'all with me? I mean, I heard people say, well, you know, I just don't have, you know, much. And then all of a sudden, you know, Southern and Grambling Game come to buy you classes. Man, they getting out credit cards. They going anywhere, but they can borrow any way they can get it. They because they're gonna be sharp at the Bayou Classic. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever it takes, they're gonna do it. But when it comes to following, we got these excuses. Praise God. Well, you know, I got this here going on. Well, I got that going on. Let me tell you something about the apostle. I'm gonna give y'all a secret about the apostle, all right? I'm gonna give y'all a secret. Don't y'all tell nobody this. All right, this is a secret. Apostle will pour more into you if he ever find out that you're hungry for it. But if you act like you don't have time and stuff, he ain't gonna have no time for you because you're taking away his life. Because if you got a glass, you got a glass, you got a glass, and apostle is pouring into those glasses. This is what some people do. Some people get a little bit in the glass like this here, and then all of a sudden they're going off trying to start another ministry. And see, apostle ain't gonna have no time for to pour in you because, and then you got this other person, he pouring, and you pouring on the ground. That's pouring. So the person here that's holding it, he could have a bigger glass if it wasn't for you and you wasting the apostle time. Acting like you want it. Praise God. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.